Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from John Russell, Susan Shand, and Brian Lynn. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is John Russell.
People in Switzerland may see some very large hydrogen-powered trucks on the road this month. The trucks are products of the South Korean company Hyundai. They are part of its plan to establish the company's technology in a low-carbon world. Invented nearly two centuries ago, hydrogen fuel cells lost out to combustion engines, the kinds of engines that most cars use. Even now, hydrogen fuel cells are less common than electric batteries. This is because hydrogen fuel cells cost more. Hydrogen is hard to store, and the process by which it is taken from natural gas also produces carbon emissions. But when it comes to trucks, Hyundai and its partners argue that electric batteries will not always do the job. The bigger the truck, the bigger the electric battery. That additional weight is a problem when trucks drive up Swiss mountains. With more than half of Switzerland's energy coming from hydropower, the country could take green hydrogen from water. This process is called electrolysis. It may require more energy, but it is carbon-free if powered by renewable electricity. Mark Freimuller is the head of Hyundai Hydrogen Mobility. He says that developing a hydrogen-powered truck is no easy job. It is not enough to produce a truck. You have to take care of the entire ecosystem, find like-minded partners, and show this all makes sense for the customer, he said. Switzerland's green hydrogen is far more costly than diesel fuel. But Hyundai hopes that as governments restrict carbon emissions and the cost of producing the clean fuel drops, the numbers could start to add up. McKinsey and Company, an advisory service, noted in a study that the cost of hydrogen made with renewable energy could be cut in half over the next 10 years. That cost would be almost equal to the cost of diesel for heavy vehicles once other costs are added in. Hydrogen has long been thought to be an alternative to oil and other fossil fuels. Hyundai's H2 Exeunt trucks have a 190-kilowatt fuel cell and 7 high-pressure tanks. Each tank can carry nearly 35 kilograms of hydrogen. The truck can travel distances up to 400 kilometers, much further than current heavy goods vehicles powered by electric batteries. For now, Hyundai is depending on government assistance for fuel cell trucks. We are not fooling ourselves. It is initially a subsidized business model, said Mark Freimuller. Around the world, the South Korean company is betting heavily on hydrogen. It plans to spend $6.7 billion on hydrogen technology by 2030. Hyundai Hydrogen Mobility is starting out with 50 H2 Exeunt trucks, but plans to put 1,600 on Swiss roads by 2025. The company is also looking to launch similar projects in at least two more European countries this year. I'm John Russell.
New data show that manufacturing in China has decreased much more than expected as the country battles the spread of the coronavirus. Chinese officials are trying hard to get people back to work without causing another outbreak. A private independent survey of manufacturers published this week shows the largest decrease in China's manufacturing activity in 16 years. The survey is called the Caixin Market Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, PMI. It gives an independent look at operating conditions in manufacturing. It found manufacturing in the country fell last month to 40.3, the lowest reading since the survey began in April 2004. A PMI rating below 50 is a sign that the manufacturing economy is decreasing. Above 50 shows expansion. China's National Bureau of Statistics released its latest data last Saturday. It showed the country's economic activity decreased to a record low of 35.7 in February, down from 50.0 in January. It marks the lowest rating since January 2005, when the index began. The previous lowest was 38.8 in November 2008 during the international financial crisis. Those surveys show just how much the coronavirus has affected the Chinese economy. The decreases were not a surprise. The extended Lunar New Year holiday kept factories and offices closed because of the virus. However, the drops were sharper than expected. "It is shocking," said Dr. Frank Shia, a business professor at the University of South Carolina, Aiken. "It really shows how bad the situation is," he added. Nicholas R. Lardy is an economist at the Brookings Institution and a Chinese economy expert. "I think the negative effect of the virus on China's economy is going to be much larger than some think," Lardy said. He said factories and businesses that had reopened are still operating at reduced levels and are facing production problems. While the coronavirus outbreak has affected some of the biggest companies in the world, it is also hurting small businesses in China. Zhang Kajian is the deputy minister of the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology. He said last week that only 30% of China's small and medium-sized businesses had returned to work. China's central government reported that 90% of state-owned companies have returned to work. I'm Susan Shand.
The popularity of Chinese-owned video sharing service TikTok continues to grow among young people in the United States. In 2019, experts say the service more than doubled its American user base to 37 million. TikTok is especially popular with teens and young adults. The service lets users create and share short videos, many of which are under 15 seconds. The TikTok app offers a wide choice of sounds, brief parts of songs, and special effects tools to help create a video. Some TikTok-based memes go viral. Videos often include popular songs from well-known artists, and TikTok has even helped launch the careers of new music stars. TikTok is considered a competitor to video sharing app Snapchat, as well as Facebook's Instagram service. Snapchat and Instagram also mainly interest young users with a wide mix of photos and videos centered largely on fashion, pop culture, and humor. Last year, TikTok was the second most downloaded app from Apple and Google stores. Only WhatsApp was downloaded more. Research company Sensor Tower estimates people have downloaded the TikTok app 1.65 billion times. TikTok has been used by many major companies to reach young people who use little or no traditional media. One of those companies is American-based ELF Cosmetics. The makeup company's chief marketer, Corey Marchisotto, told the Associated Press that TikTok is where the Gen Z party is. Gen Z is a name used to describe the generation born between the late 1990s and the early 2000s. That's where they're all hanging out, Marchisotto said. Companies appearing on TikTok can make money through advertising. Often the companies create user challenges as part of their ad campaigns. In challenges, users are invited to publish their own videos in which they perform similar dance moves. One campaign by ELF Cosmetics, for example, asked people to wink and move their lips while following a song. TikTok users created 3 million videos that received more than 4 billion views. While TikTok has continued to grow since its U.S. launch in 2017, it has also received media attention for being the first Chinese-owned social media service to rise to major success in the U.S. U.S. lawmakers have raised concerns about TikTok's collection of user data and the possibility that the company could be sharing information with the Chinese government. In addition, the lawmakers said the app presents national security risks and could be used to censor material for users in the U.S. TikTok has said it does not share information with the Chinese government and denies the app carries national security risks or is used to censor information. Still, the concerns led the U.S. government to launch a national security investigation into TikTok. Also, the U.S. Department of Defense warned last December of possible security risks linked to the use of TikTok. The agency urged employees not to use the app. The warning led several military services to ban the use of TikTok on government devices. In addition, some groups and parents have expressed concerns about videos appearing on TikTok that might be harmful for young users. nonprofit privacy group Common Sense Media has issued guidance for parents. The group notes on its website that many videos appearing on TikTok include offensive language and sexual subjects. For these reasons, the group urges parents to supervise what their children watch on TikTok and suggests that the service is best for those over age 16. TikTok's head of creator partnerships, Kudzi Chikumbu, told the AP the company is working hard to make sure the app is a safe and positive environment. Last year, the company agreed to pay the U.S. government a $5.7 million fine for collecting personal information from children under age 13. Since then, TikTok created a separate part of the app that restricts possibly offensive material. The app requires users to be 13 years old, although it does not confirm users' ages. TikTok says it does remove what it calls wrongly created accounts if they are reported by other users. I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. Bob Doty and I discuss American arts and popular culture during the 1930s. Hard economic times and social conflict have always offered a rich source of material for artists and writers. A painter's colors can show the drying of dreams or the flight of the human spirit. A musician can express the tensions and uncertainty of a people in struggle. The pressures of hard times can be the force to lift a writer's imagination to new heights. So it was during the 1930s in the United States. The severe economic crisis, the Great Depression, created an atmosphere for artistic imagination and creative expression. The common feeling of struggle also led millions of Americans to look to films, radio, and other new art forms for relief from their day-to-day cares.
The most popular sound of the 1930s was a new kind of music, swing music. And the king of swing was a clarinet player named Benny Goodman. Benny Goodman and other musicians made swing music extremely popular during the 1930s. Swing music was a new form of jazz. Many of its first players were black musicians in small, unknown groups. It was only when more well-known white musicians started playing swing music in the middle 1930s that the new music became wildly popular.
One reason for the popularity of swing music was the growing power of radio during the 1930s.
Radio had already proven in earlier years that it could be an important force in both politics and popular culture. Millions of Americans bought radios during the 1920s. But radio grew up in the 1930s. Producers became more skillful in creating programs. And actors and actresses began to understand the special needs and power of this new electronic art form. Swing music was not the only kind of music that radio helped make popular. The 1930s also saw increasing popularity for traditional classical music by Beethoven, Bach, and other great musicians. In 1930, the Columbia Broadcasting System began a series of concerts by the New York Philharmonic Orchestra on Sunday afternoons. The next year, the National Broadcasting Company, NBC, began weekly opera concerts.
In 1937, NBC asked Arturo Toscanini of Italy to lead an orchestra on American radio. Toscanini was the greatest orchestra leader of his day. Millions of Americans listened at Christmas time as Toscanini and the NBC Orchestra began playing the first of 10 special radio concerts. It was a great moment for both music and radio. For the first time, millions of average Americans were able to hear classical music by great musicians as it was being played.
Music was an important reason why millions of Americans gathered to listen to the radio during the 1930s. But even more popular were a series of weekly programs with exciting or funny new actors. Families would come home from school or work and laugh at the foolish experiences of such actors as Jack Benny, Fred Allen, George Burns, Edgar Bergen, and W.C. Fields. Radio helped people forget the hard conditions of the Great Depression, and it helped to bring Americans together and share experiences.
Swing music, classical music, great comedy programs. The 1930s truly were a golden period for radio and mass communications. But it was also during this period that Hollywood and the American film industry became much more skilled and influential. In previous years, films were silent, but the talkies arrived in the 1930s.
Directors could produce films in which actors could talk. Americans reacted by attending film theaters by the millions. It was a great time for Hollywood. The films had exciting new actors. Spencer Tracy, Betty Davis, Katharine Hepburn, the young Shirley Temple. The most famous film of the period was Gone with the Wind, with Clark Gable and Vivian Leigh in the starring roles of Rhett Butler and Scarlett O'Hara.
No, I don't think I will kiss you. Although you need kissing badly. That's what's wrong with you. You should be kissed and often, and by someone who knows how.
Oh, and I suppose you think you are the proper person.
I might be, if the right moment ever came.
Directors in the 1930s also produced such great films as It Happened One Night, Mutiny on the Bounty, and The Life of Emile Zola.
The success of radio and films, as well as the Depression itself, caused problems for many American newspapers during the 1930s. The trouble was not so much that readers stopped buying newspapers. It was that companies talked about their products through advertisements on radio instead of buying advertising space in newspapers. Nearly half of the nation's independently published newspapers either stopped publishing or joined larger companies during the 1930s. By World War II, only 120 cities had competing newspapers.
Weekly and monthly publications faced the same problem as daily newspapers: increased competition from radio and films. Many magazines failed. The two big successes of the period were Life magazine and the Reader's Digest. Life magazine had stories for everyone about film actors, news events, or just daily life in the home or on the farm. Its photographs were the greatest anywhere. Reader's Digest published shorter forms of stories from other magazines and sources.
Most popular books of the period were like the films coming from Hollywood. Writers cared more about helping people forget their troubles than about facing serious social issues. They made more money that way, too. But a number of writers in the 1930s did produce books that were both profitable and of high quality. One was Sinclair Lewis. His book, It Can't Happen Here, warned of the coming dangers of fascism. John Steinbeck's great book, The Grapes of Wrath, helped millions understand and feel in their hearts the troubles faced by poor farmers. Erskine Caldwell wrote about the cruelty of life among poor people in the southeastern United States, and James T. Farrell about life in Chicago.
The same social concern and desire to present life as it really existed also were clear in the work of many American artists during the 1930s. Thomas Benton painted workers and others with strong, tough bodies. Edward Hopper showed the sad streets of American cities. Reginald Marsh painted picture after picture of poor parts of New York City. The federal government created a program that gave jobs to artists. They painted their pictures on the walls of airports, post offices, and schools. The program brought their ideas and creativity to millions of people. At the same time, photography became more important as cameras improved in quality and became more movable. Some photographers, like Margaret Burke White and Walker Evans, used their cameras to report the hard conditions of the Depression.
All this activity in the arts and popular culture played an important part in the lives of Americans during the 1930s. It not only provided relief from their troubles, but expanded their minds and pushed their imaginations. The tensions and troubles of the Great Depression provided a rich atmosphere for artists and others to produce works that were serious, foolish, or just plain fun. And those works, in turn, helped make life a little better as Americans waited, worked, and hoped for times to improve.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.